And please turn with me tonight to Galatians chapter 5. We've been working through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and for the last several weeks, the virtues, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And remember, we learned that all nine of these virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, belong in some measure to every Christian. Everyone who is born again and has received the Holy Spirit has love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the nine fruit of the Spirit in some measure. Not perfectly. Some have greater measures of others in certain virtues, but we all have these marks. Tonight we come to kindness. I know you have seen some of these taglines recently, where kindness is free. My favorite one I saw recently, sprinkle kindness wherever you go. Workplaces and schools have random acts of kindness day. Darlington County schools have random. In fact, there is a random acts of kindness foundation that you can look at online. And they have a list of 25 ways to be kind. Now listen to some of their random ways that you may be kind. Some examples. You may pick up a piece of litter, leave a big tip, share a snack, smile, drink a glass of water, or love who you are. The kindness in our culture has really just become synonymous with niceness. Just trying to be nice and generally doing decent things. Now, I'm not against niceness, but this falls short of the biblical word kindness. We'll see tonight that kindness is so much deeper than just a broad, general niceness. The Puritans actually defined kindness, listen to this, as strong, controlled compassion. Calvin adds this, "If we truly belong to Christ, we must be like him. And what is he but gentle and kind to the worst of us?" So let's read tonight, beginning in Galatians 5, verse 16. And this section of verses will remind us that we are following a different path than the world. The world is on the path of the flesh, but we are in the path of the Spirit. And the marks of this path of the Spirit belong to those who are in Christ. So let's begin Galatians 5, verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, envying one another." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for your word and the reminder of the power that we have in the Holy Spirit, Lord. We no longer live by the flesh, but we live by the Spirit. And so our lives should be distinct and marked by this fruit of the Spirit, Lord. And so help us tonight to understand your word. Show us where we fall short, Lord. Convict us, comfort us, encourage us, Lord. And may we be more kind, just as our Savior is kind to us. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. I love the story of Louis Zamperini. Maybe you've read the book Unbroken or seen the movie that came out somewhat recently. Louis Zamperini has one of the most amazing lives of anyone in history. He was an Olympic runner competing in the 5,000-meter run in the 1936 Olympics. After this, he was a fighter pilot in World War II. He was on mission flying a B-24 bomber when his plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean. He was then stranded in the ocean and survived on a life raft for 43 days. After this survival, he was rescued by a Japanese POW camp where he was brutally beaten and tortured for 2 years until the end of the war. In 1949, a few years after returning home, where he heard the gospel and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, to me, his most amazing accomplishment, even more so than surviving 43 days on the ocean, was that he returned to Japan of his own will. He returned to Japan not to seek revenge, but he returned so that he could visit each and every one of the guards who tortured him while he was in this POW camp. One by one, he spoke to them, to his captors, telling them that he loved them. He brought Bibles for them. He told them of his faith in Christ, of the mercy and compassion of Christ. Some of these Japanese guards even came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the worst of all his torturers was a prison guard nicknamed the Bird. The Bird had beaten Louis within an inch of his life several times, dozens of times, and the Bird refused to meet with Louis, so Louis, not being satisfied, he knew that he had more kindness to show, sent him a letter with a Bible telling him that he forgave him and loved him. This is biblical kindness. Understanding and generosity towards those, especially the undeserving. I want us to begin by looking at God's kindness. So let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Here in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is preaching to a crowd. 6, verse 27. Luke 6, 27, Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Now notice here the key statement in verse 35. The Most High God, you see his character, he is kind. He is kind to those, see specifically to the ungrateful and to the evil. 35 is a very interesting biblical word. One scholar says that this word is a mix sort of between three different words. It's a mix between the words good, easy, and useful. God is being good to those who are against him. For a time, he is being easy to his enemies. And this word kind shows purpose. It is useful. It displays God's character, and the purpose is to draw the person in. So Christian, kindness is always something that is useful to accomplish God's purposes. Kindness is never random. It's never something that's wasted. It's always useful for God's kingdom. Now notice in this passage, as you look through this passage, notice the extent of the Lord's kindness. The Lord extends common grace and kindness. You see this to those who curse him, to those who hate him, to enemies, to sinners, to those who will give nothing in return. His kindness is extended to those who are against him. That's kindness. Again, there's a lesson for you. You see in verse 35, you will be sons of the Most High. A distinctive mark of a son or daughter, a child of the Most High, is you are one who shows kindness. Kindness given without expecting a return. That's a mark of a Christian. Now again, Pastor Terry Johnson says this, kindness is not content to merely tolerate. We don't see Christ just tolerating in this passage. It is does not just put up of love. It refuses to be unkind. It refuses to return evil for evil. It blesses those who curse. It is good to those who hate it. It prays for those who mistreat. Growing up in my home as a child, I had a lot of reminders to be kind, usually from my parents. My older brother, who's 2 years older than me, we tended to get into a lot of disputes, arguments, wrestling matches, sometimes fistfights. And if my parents got involved, it usually the conversation would go something like this to me or to my brother: why did you do this? Why did you punch your brother in the face? Or why did you take that away from your brother? And the response would be, well, because he did this to me. He called me this name. He started it with me. He hit me. He stole my game. And mom or dad would always say the same thing. Son, of course, sheepishly hold our chin down and say, yes, yes, I'm a Christian. Son, the Christian response is to show kindness. It is to show mercy. It is not to retaliate. See, kindness is not just being nice when the other person is easy to love. Kindness is being good to those who have harmed us, as Christ told us here in this sermon, turning the other cheek against that one who has harmed us. See, our natural disposition is to do exactly what I would do to my brother, hit him back. He hit me, I hit him back. That's the natural man. But Galatians 5 tells us we no longer live in the flesh. We are no longer beholden to the flesh. We now live in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us the power, the very power of the resurrection, as we saw this morning, not to insult or hit back, that's the old man, but now to show kindness and return kindness for harm. Well, I want you to turn over now to Romans chapter 2. We already established that part of this idea of kindness is it's useful for God's purposes. So Romans chapter 2, verse 4, here we see the reason, the purpose behind kindness. Romans 2, verse 4 says this: kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. See this? What is the ultimate purpose of God's kindness? The Lord returning kindness to us when we have sinned against Him. What is the overarching purpose? It is meant to lead you to repentance. This means for the unbeliever, the person that we just read about in Luke chapter 6, the person who's sinning against God, God is being kind so that they will repent of their sins and turn to Him. So that they will no longer presume on His mercy and His kindness. The kindness of God is not meant for you to participate in this life against God forever. It's purpose to lead you to repentance. Now this applies to the Christian as well. It applies to the unbeliever, but it also applies to you, Christian. That we are not to presume on the kindness of God. If you are living in sin and rebellion, willfully sinning and harboring secret sin in your heart, engaging in sinful behavior that dishonors God, His kindness to you is meant to lead you to repentance. His continued blessing to you is not a sign that He likes what you're doing. He's being kind to you and merciful to you to lead you to repentance. That's His purpose. Les Miserables, and I think of Jean Valjean. Remember the story at the beginning towards the very beginning when he's just been released from prison after I think almost 20 years. So he's desperate, he's starving, and he's taken in by a kind old priest. Remember, the priest gave him a bed for the night and gave him a warm meal and was so merciful and gracious to him. But you remember, in the middle of the night, Valjean woke up, stole the candlesticks, the silver from the man's cabinet, and he ran away. He was quickly captured by the police, and they brought him back to the priest's house, and they said, "Did this man take this from your house?" And The priest, remember, he said, actually, no, I gave it to him. And by the way, he forgot some more of the silver that's here in my home. And remember what the priest said to Valjean? He said, use this to begin a new life, a changed life. You no longer belong to sin anymore. You now belong to a good life. That's the example. The kindness was meant to lead to repentance. That's the kindness of God to you. It's meant to melt your heart and lead you to repentance. What a kind God we have who is merciful to us when we sin against Him. It should make you, believer, want to continue to repent. Well, now I want you to turn to Titus chapter 3. And here in Titus 3, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's special kindness. We see God's special kindness came to us in the form of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Titus 3, verse 3, says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." See this? There is a special kindness extended to you, Christian. It came in the form of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Kindness came and walked among us. Kindness came and died on the cross, bearing your sins. We ourselves were once foolish, certainly living a life of sin, but we were saved by Christ. Kindness in the flesh. One more passage here on this first point of God's kindness. I want you to turn over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me and rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now in verse 30 here, Matthew 11 verse 30, this word easy is the Greek word where we find kindness. It's the same Greek word, easy, kind, same word. So Jesus is saying here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is kind. My yoke is kind, my burden is light. This means, Christian, when you come to Christ in faith, you devote yourself to Him, when you attach yourself to Him and carry the yoke with Him, it's not a heavy, unreasonable, or burdensome life. Every step of the way, Christ is saying, my burden and my yoke, it is kind to you each and every day, every step of the way. We serve a merciful to us who don't deserve it. Well, now, how can you practice this same kindness? I want to transition here to our second point tonight. We've seen the kindness of God and what kindness is, but I want to now put this into practice. How can you practice kindness in your own life and grow in kindness? First, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that we practice kindness and grow in kindness by first meditating on Jesus Christ. Meditating on Christ as He is presented in the gospel. So let's begin with 1 Peter 1 verse 24. And we'll run into chapter 2 here. Peter says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Now again, the final verse here, 1 Peter 2, verse 3, this word good, the Lord is good, this is, again, is the Greek word kind. if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good or kind. But I want you to notice the progression here in this passage, how you grow in kindness. Notice at the end of chapter 1, verse 24, we read, all flesh is like grass, meaning everything is going away, all people, all animals, all the earth, it's all falling away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And then Peter says, this word was preached to you, and you have tasted that the Lord is good, that the Lord is kind. It was preached to you, and you understood the gospel. So like newborn infants, he says, keep coming back to Christ and the gospel. Keep coming back to his kindness. Keep coming back to this spiritual milk that nourishes you and sustains you. Continue coming and tasting the kindness of the Lord. Here's how you grow and practice kindness in your Christian life. Continue coming back to the Lord and meditating upon him. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Where does kindness begin, Christian? It begins in knowing how kind your Savior has been to you and how kind he is to you each and every day with his yoke that is easy and his burden that is light. Meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in kindness as you see. And second, there are a second way to grow and practice patience or practice kindness that we'll look at here in just a moment. But the instructions are to put on, to put off, and to pursue. So let's listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. You don't need to turn there, but we'll read Colossians 3. Verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We saw this as we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So Paul gives us the same command here that daily we are to put on kindness. Now, remember, to put on here in Colossians 3 is the language of adorning yourself or dressing yourself, just as you would put on your shoes or your clothing or your jewelry. You are daily to put on this fruit of the Spirit. You are daily to put on kindness. One pastor says, kindness is Christianity with its working clothes on. So Christian, you could maybe, and I know the day I have ahead of me, so I'm going to put on my Christian working clothes because I know it will be difficult to show kindness. You prepare, you put on kindness. It's not random. Kindness is well thought out. It is an active putting on, an active pursuit. Wake up in the morning and put on kindness. Pray for God's kindness to fill you. Now listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Here we have the put off commands, or put to death. Colossians 3, 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Now you hear that? The language put off, put to death. I think he said put off three times. You put on kindness daily, you adorn yourself with kindness, but at the same time, there has to be an active pursuit of putting off things that are opposing to kindness. Anger, wrath, malice, passion, evil desire. Christian, if you are harboring these things in your heart, if there's that in this person, I have so much anger and bitterness towards them, wrath towards them, you're dead set on getting revenge on this person. Put it to death. Put it off. Repent of this sin. Kill this sin. You put on kindness, but at the same time, you must turn away from these sins that are opposing to kindness. And then finally, we put on, put off, and then pursue. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says this, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Hear this word pursue in Proverbs 21. It means to follow after, even to run after. It's a connotation of striving, straining, to run hard after something. So the wisdom here is the pursuit of righteousness and kindness is difficult. It is challenging. We're to gear up, to put on our running shoes and run after it. How do you pursue and run after kindness? You run hard after Christ. You run hard towards other believers and His church and His worship. Model kindness. Run to Christ, certainly, who is the epitome of kindness, but run to older, wise believers, mature believers in the church who exemplify kindness. Pursue them. Pursue a relationship with them. Will you pray with me and help me to put on kindness? Help me to learn how to put off anger and wrath and malice. Continue, believers, running to and pursuing evening worship and Wednesday night prayer and Sunday morning worship. This is how you pursue Christ and how you pursue His kindness. Well, let me close with a few specific applications tonight. First is this. Christian kindness is one of your strongest witnesses to the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world does not understand kindness. To the unbeliever, kindness is just niceness. It is just random acts, and at best, kindness is delivered to those who have done something for you. But to show kindness to someone who has hurt you or someone who has sinned against you, someone who has even betrayed you, that is one of your strongest witnesses to the world. When you show kindness, you are showing Jesus Christ. Second application. Pastor John MacArthur says this, the first test of kindness is in the home. He says the home is the place, the training ground, the practice field of kindness. The Christian husband must be kind to his wife and children. Kindness begins at home. Wives, kind to their husbands and children. Children, kind to their brothers and sisters and to their parents. More than kind feelings, he says, but we do kind and helpful things. Is your home a training ground of kindness? It's for wives, for women in the church. In Proverbs 31, the excellent wife, Proverbs 31, verse 26, says this, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's a specific application for wives, for women in the home, to fill the home with kind words of gospel teaching. Women, strive after this calling to fill your home with teachings of kindness. And then finally, I'll close with the promise that we just heard from Proverbs 21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that there is life in Christ. Lord, because you have extended kindness to us, and we know the definition of kindness, Lord, that you pursued us when we were against you, Lord. Help us to do that with others, Father, in our lives. We have so many opportunities to show kindness and practice kindness, Lord. Help us to be aware and alert, Lord. And Father, may you give us opportunity this week to represent you, to be your ambassadors to the world, to show the world that we serve you, our kind Savior. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.